We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle United were absolutely fucking fabulous against Arsenal. 2-0. It could have been more. It should have been more. And you've got Alex here, Simon Campbell, Michael Carlin and Ben Waite to talk to you about it. We're talking in our Collingwood Street office in the heart of the city straight after the game. We're all over the moon as Newcastle United fucked off Arsenal in spectacular fashion. Arsenal, no Champions League for you, lads. Where will Newcastle United be next season? Who knows? Join us on Patreon over the summer to find out. £6.60 a month. We're going to talk about it lots, but let's talk about tonight, Si. I watched the match with you in the Melbourne Stand in St. James's Park. How do you feel?
A little bit gutted. Because the season's over now, and that was like the peak. That was the best Newcastle match I've seen in like 10 years, probably more. And I'm gutted it's over. I'm absolutely gutted.
That what this, a ridiculous take.
We aye.
You'll have your say, Ben. Don't you worry.
No. Honestly, that was such a pleasure to watch, wasn't it? We were so good. We've absolutely like controlled that game against a team that needed to win it. We didn't need anything out of that game. Arsenal absolutely had to win or had to at least draw to give themselves a chance. And we've made that so hard for them and then just smashed them out of the park. So good, so encouraging. You know, couldn't beat Liverpool, couldn't beat Man City, pretty much humbled by both. But this is our level already. Like, we can give Arsenal a game, we gave Chelsea a game, we gave Man U a game. You know, it's really, really good that we've managed to finish the season on a high like this. Obviously, we've got Burnley next week, which would be class as well, but to finish with a nice home performance like that, give everyone something to celebrate. The lap of honour felt like it meant something. The whole atmosphere in the stadium after the full-time whistle was something that we haven't felt as a fan base for so long, and it was just special. Special is the word right now.
Bad result for Burnley tonight.
Yeah.
Bad result for Burnley. They're watching that. They're all at home. They're watching that thinking, oh, no. Oh, no. We've got to play this at the weekend. We might have to beat them. And it seems unlikely if Newcastle United can replicate that performance, or even half that performance, so good was the performance. Mickey, you were in the corner for this one. How does this rank for you in terms of, you know, let's be honest, lads, football has been fucking shite for a long time for us, a long time. It's been like a decade of shite, if not more. How was that for you tonight, Mickey, in that context?
Well, we've been doing this podcast together, the four of us here, for nine and a bit years now, and it's been pretty rubbish the whole time. Has, wasn't
the,
it?
The podcast,
really,
or the games.
Really, really bad. The podcast, you know, we've tried our best, you know. I think that was one of, if not the greatest night at St. James's in my adult life. Like, yeah. It was one of those ones that you'll think about forever and ever and ever. Like, the atmosphere was class. Flags were just, like, absurdly good. Everything about it was class. And then Newcastle come out on such a massive stage in a game where it doesn't even really mean anything to us. And we were just so good at, like, so good at football. And I said to Ben on the way out, like, we've done really well this season, but we actually haven't, like, blown anyone away. And tonight we've gone, an Arsenal, fifth place Arsenal, I know they were missing a couple of players, but we were miles better than them. Miles better than them. Like, they couldn't get near us. They couldn't get the ball. They literally couldn't make two passes. And this is one of the greatest possession teams in world football, and we have just destroyed them in every possible way. It was a remarkable night of football.
Remarkable is the word. Ben, again, in the corner, in terms of, I don't know, pick one, pre-game, mid-game, post-game, what was your highlight in terms of atmosphere there?
Oh, it's a tough one like that. I mean, all through the game, it was unbelievable. Like, I mean, I was late getting in because we'd gone for Pint de Loco and got there kind of just as the display kind of start, well, was already going on. So, but it looked unbelievable. I mean, fair play to Wolf Lags. It was an incredible kind of finish of the season. So well done to them. But just even then, I mean, so obviously that gets everyone buzzing, but you kind of know it normally dies off a bit, but it just didn't today. You could tell it was obviously the last kind of game of the season. I mean, I think we all talked about it being a night game. I mean, Monday night is a killer, but actually, like, the night atmosphere was so good. Just everyone was up for it. And I think the best thing was, obviously, the display from the lads kept that atmosphere going. And that's why it was so good, was because we saw one of the most dominant performances from this side, well, from Newcastle, that I've ever seen. And when you put it in the context of who it was against, and it's an Arsenal team, as you say, we've had some hidings over the years. We talked about it recently on a podcast about how we've got a terrible record against Arsenal. Like, Arsenal are one of the bogey teams for Newcastle, that no matter when, even if Arsenal are having a bad kind of run of form, Newcastle's kind of one of their banker games that is, and we've had some horrible results, and to literally like decimate any kind of chance of them doing anything. I mean, I can't see them getting the Champions League now, but it, just everything about it, like, we were up for everything. I mean, some of the tackles going in, like, we said the one from Bruno, like, where he absolutely flies into someone and doesn't even give a free kick or anything away. It just, everyone was up for it, and I think a lot of that was because of the atmosphere, and it was just one of, as you say, special is the key word, because it tonight felt like this is the beginning of something, because we know how, like, a lot of things are coming, but, and it's weird it being the last game of the season, but, like, this, I think, is the first taste of what we've got to come, and it's just that makes it feel even better.
When people, if any of you listen to this, haven't, you know, might listen tomorrow morning or a few days time, or you couldn't watch the match because you were at work or time zones or anything like that, but are there anyone watching retrospectively or anyone thinking back to being at the game and watching on telly? I need everyone to remember one important thing, and that's we were 14th at kickoff. So all of those images, all of those flags, the blue star, the golden letters in the East Stand, the bit at the other end in the Gallagher with the image, you have to remember that we were 14th, and there's lots and lots of people out there willing to knock us down at every single opportunity. Snide comments, little digs, or not so little digs. Whatever they say about us in the future, we put on that show tonight when we were 14th place in the Premier League. There's teams, Manchester City play against Newcastle United at home, and when they score the fifth goal, the ground's like half empty. Tonight, the ground, apart from these two lads sat to me right here who were late getting in, the ground.
I wasn't
was
late. No. Don't punish me with that push. I wasn't late.
Well, I say I was late getting in. I got there at 10 to.
Oh, well.
But it was late enough that the display had already started.
Giving yourself 10 minutes there, I reckon. But anyway, everyone, like, the ground is rammed at 50 minutes. And this, by the way, Newcastle are 14th. 14th versus 5th. And 5th have to win, by the way. Arsenal draws no good for Arsenal. If you watch that game without knowing who is placed where, there is no way you know that Arsenal have got to win that game. You think Newcastle United are the ones that matter in this fixture. And it wasn't, it was Newcastle United. It did matter. Newcastle had 67% possession in the first half. 67% possession. Domination. And I don't know, tonight was just a night about, it was a night for all of Newcastle United. I feel that on the pitch, you saw the culmination of months and months of good work away from the pitch. Months and months of progression. Off the pitch, you saw a fan base reunited after a decade or more of kind of fracturing, of disagreement. And I just feel, and I've said it before, but who is going to stop us? Honestly, I feel like Arsenal players walking out to that tonight, they're thinking, for fuck's sake, this is the last thing we needed. They want to come here and they want to play against Ashley's Newcastle Arsenal. Ben, like you said, 17 wins in the last 18 for Arsenal. Since Newcastle beat Arsenal in 2001 in that famous 3-1 win at Highbury, 3 wins in 43 Premier League games. This is Arsenal's banker. This is their easy place. This is the place to come to wash away their fears with a comfortable win. They walk out of there tonight and it's like, oh, fuck, it's different. It is different, and boy, it was different. One of the great nights, like you say, lads. I'm absolutely buzzing. Newcastle United deserved it, and that's the thing. It was 2-0, but it could have been 4. It could have been 4. It could have been 5. I can't remember Martin Dubravka making a save, and we're going to get into it a little bit later in the show. I don't know if any of you want to say anything else, lads, just about how this feels right now. But honestly, on cloud nine, it's just, I think the symbolism is that we have beaten a team that had everything to play for, and we should, like, phrases like on the beach, phrases like, oh, it doesn't matter because next season, phrases like you've already stayed up. didn't apply tonight, and Eddie Howe and the lads to put in that performance and be better in Arsenal in every single department, I'm almost lost for words for how good they've been.
It's the result we were like just begging for, wasn't it? I mean, we talked about being able to challenge, just give us a bit of a sign that we could challenge one of the top teams. And we said we've either been blown away in a few games or we've had some like really tough kind of either draws or like the Chelsea last minute defeat or whatever, but had kind of done ourselves justice in those, but we had nothing to show for it. This is like the first kind of marker on the board to say like that should be all out, like that could be our level and should be, I think. And that for me is the biggest thing, is like, as you say, everything's kind of against Newcastle putting that type of performance, and yet that the team, the club, the coaching staff, everything they've been able to pull together and pull that out is unbelievable. And I just cannot wait for next season now.
It's going to be tremendous, isn't it? Like, I was really annoyed, like really annoyed when the changes came to be on a Monday night, and I thought they've spoiled it. Like, they've spoiled it for everyone. Nobody's going to be able to get pissed. Like, no one's going to have that good a night. It's definitely going to take the edge off it. And actually, it did the total opposite. Like, people have clearly taken the day off work. Loads of, like, thousands of mags have taken the day off work. Like, everyone else that's, like, come straight from work and, like, gone straight to the pub, everyone's had just an absolutely belt night. And, like, genuinely created what I think is the best atmosphere I've seen in St. James's ever. I do. Tell us one that's better.
No. You're up there with Arsenal 4-4 fucking 11 years ago and Sunderland 12 years ago. Like, you're right. Maybe Man United 3-0, but these are all like pre-2013. That's how bad it's been. We're dealing decades here as Newcastle fans. Champion. All right, well, that's part one of the show over. We're going to leave you with some adverts, of course. If you want to listen to this show without adverts, join us on Patreon. It's going to be a magical week. It's a magical week every week because we're talking about Newcastle United lots, but we're going to talk about loads of this game and loads more as we're heading to Burnley back after these.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
I think there's only one place to start with part two, and that's with Newcastle United centre forward. What a performance. You know, Callum Wilson, Michael Carlin, tell me about the man.
He was just magnificent, wasn't he? Like, like from the very start of the game, he did everything you would want from a centre forward. He was pressing constantly. He was like a total pain in the neck for the Arsenal centre halves. He was constantly on them, and he was leading that press that we've done so well at Newcastle. Like, Almiron was joining him. Maximan was joining him. Maximan doesn't press ever, but Maximan was doing it today. And that comes from being properly led at the top of the line, which was done by Callum Wilson so effectively. And then he just scores. Like, he scores, you know, it's like a...
But he doesn't.
But he kind of does.
Everyone's given him that goal.
Yeah. I've given him it, yeah.
Yeah. It's your goal. You didn't touch the ball.
No, yeah, but give him...
anywhere near it, really. But your goal.
What are you doing? Why would you take it off him? Come on, one of the greatest nights of James. Why would you take it off him?
Two or three other really big chances. He deserves at least one goal. Give him the goal, yeah.
It was only 2-0, but... The Premier League need to have a look at themselves if they're not going to give him a goal for that volley from 40 yards before he went in.
Yeah, I was four stairs down on my way to celebrate the bottom of the stairs with that one. And I didn't go in, but, you know, what a performance. And it just shows you, doesn't it? Like, we've achieved everything that we've achieved in the second half of this season. We've achieved basically without Callum Wilson because he's been injured. Like, imagine where we could have been if he'd been playing.
The weird thing is you want to compare him to Chris Wood, don't you? Which is probably harsh on Chris Wood because
it is harsh.
Wilson's just a much better footballer. Like, there's balls over the top that you think, well, Wood would have just watched that and gone, oh, that's nowhere near us, lads. And Wilson's running 25 yards and getting there ahead of Arsenal.
And also getting fouled the whole way. Like, all the Arsenal lads were just pulling his shirt, pulling his neck.
Free kicks. Yeah. And then he's trying stuff like that volley. He's trying stuff like the little flick that Nelly, it just one deflection, it just goes over the past the post. Like, well, he is a proper centre forward. If he could stay fit, he'd be more than good enough for Newcastle next season.
He'd be England striker if he stayed fit, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He's joy to watch.
I mean, he's Eddie made, isn't he? For Eddie Howe. He's literally the perfect striker, though, for
was that was that a ready-made Eddie made?
It was. but I didn't say the ready, I just said the Eddie. he's so good. And he's like, that's the thing. It was a pleasure to watch him tonight. Like, he obviously has been playing for the team for a while, and we've seen some great performances from him. But like, you just saw tonight what we've been missing, and he was a thorn in their side all night. And we've given Wood kind of some pats on the back for some of his performances where he's been difficult to play against. But I've not seen anything like tonight. Like, they were panicking every time there was a ball over the top. They were bricking themselves because he chased everything. He was all over them. He was giving them a tough game. I mean, he just didn't give them a minute, a second's kind of rest. And okay, he was offside quite a bit at the beginning. But like, I think a lot of that comes down to the timing of playing with the team. You think he hasn't played with the team for months. Like, what's he going to be like when we've got like months of them working together, like back playing, back in form and everything? Like, it's just, as I say, it feels unbelievable because it just feels like it's the beginning of something much, much bigger.
No, definitely. And, you know, you've mentioned Chris Wood there. It's Chris Wood gets analysed a lot in terms of his transfer fee, which is a release clause, and that's not his fault. But I don't ever want to see Chris Wood play for Newcastle again. Like, really, while Callum Wilson's fit, there is no comparison, unfortunately, for Chris Wood. And maybe he'll get better with the summer and a bit of more time working under Eddie Howe. But ultimately, you know, tonight, if you're Arsenal, you can't let the ball bounce. It's like, do not let that ball bounce, because Callum Wilson's arse is going to be in your, like, your body. You're going to be moved off the ball. And like you say, Wilson's got this brilliant ability to foul players whilst winning a free kick. It's like, he's fouling them and they don't quite understand. It's like, he's fouled you and he's fallen over and he's got the free kick. Like, that yellow card Arsenal got right at the start of the game, when Wilson kind of, again, moves his body out of the way and then falls over, and the lad doesn't understand. He's like, I've played football for 30 years here. I don't understand what's going on. That's Callum Wilson.
I mean, also a shout out to the refs.
Well, I thought the ref was giving Arsenal, like, everything. Like, I did. In the first half, any time Newcastle jumped for a ball in the box, in Arsenal's box, it was like free kick. By the way, how funny was their goalkeeper tonight? He couldn't stay on his feet.
Ridiculous. I was saying to Ben on the way down, like, how does it happen in the Premier League when they've got like when they've got a bloke who sorts the kit out for them? Like, surely he's been like, don't wear your trainers, Aaron. put your studs on, it's wet.
Well, this is the thing though, in terms of the performance, and we want to talk about a few more players, but I found it incredible the amount of pressure Arsenal found themselves under. And Arsenal's response was almost just to be like, right, we're going to get a half-time at 0-0. If we get a half-time at 0-0, we'll probably win this game. And Arsenal had a lot more possession after the first goal went in, as is our choice, by the way, Arsenal. if you've seen us play at home before, we'll give you the ball once we've gone 1-0 up, but that's our choice to give you the ball. And Arsenal basically, they had no answer. In fact, Arsenal, yeah, pass it out from the back, kind of purists invented it, for fuck's sake. And for about 5 minutes, Ramsdale's like, lads, I'm going to have to kick this long here. I'm sorry, Saka. I'm sorry, mate. You're going to have to go up against Matt Target in the air, and you might not like the results, but I cannot get through Newcastle's press, and it was extraordinary.
For me, that set the tone as well for Arsenal, because it just looked so nervy. Like, as you say, slipped, like, and each kick was awful. Like, it was sailing 10 yards over each player out of play. And then that one where he nearly gets charged down, like, yeah, it just completely... Yeah, I mean, if that goes in, bloody hell. But, like... It just felt like they. It was almost like that was kind of the kind of poster child for like Arsenal bottling this, like feeling the pressure and just.
We made them do that though. With
100%,
like massive 100%. Press. We did.
But that's what I mean. Like you press some teams and they can handle it. Like Arsenal just didn't have the backbone for it tonight.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's like absolutely typical Arsenal, isn't it? Like over the last 10 years, that they just can't handle when someone like really gets into them, and that's what we got. So right from the very start.
The beautiful thing is that it does. Like, yeah, fine, so when someone else gives it to them, when someone else presses them, but it was us.
Yeah.
Against Arsenal at home, and I was saying aside during the game, and it was like, fucking hell, Leeds at home feels like a long time ago when Leeds were, like, pissing around the pitch, like, unable to get close to them when we nick out with a 1-1 draw, and fucking Bruce has stood there full time with a massive grin in his face. It's like Arsenal have come in their cup final, and it was a cup final, bigger than the cup final, and we've played them off the park. It was absolutely sensational.
They spent the whole day getting their asses kicked by Joe Linton, who we've not talked about yet. He was really, really good.
Oh, he's going to come up.
Obviously, Bruno was excellent, but like in midfield, we've just dominated them. Like I think that's where that game was went today. Yes, I think I thought Miggy and Maxi did a really good job, and then I thought the lads who came on, and in terms of Murphy and apart from the chance they both failed to do anything with, but Murphy and Fraser looked lively. And then every little aspect, every player who came on, even Dwight Gayle had a chance at the end, didn't he? Like, Every contribution in Newcastle
passed it off.
Yeah,
I bet Dodsy's heart skipped a bit. heart skipped a beat.
Just nice to see him. I was just happy. If you could have, if you were thinking of icing to put on that cake, it was Dwight Gayle coming on at the end for me. Little blast to 2016-17 when we were happy.
Yeah, but honestly, like every single player has had a blinder there. I mean, the only player I thought was having a mare in maybe the first 20 minutes was that Mike Target was getting done quite a lot by Saka, but then he sorted himself out, and then he must have covered the most ground in that pitch tonight by taking every single corner, every single throw-in, every single free kick. Mighty Target's become the new set-piece lad. And I can't think of an individual Newcastle player who didn't perform at least at an 8 out of 10 there. Like, we were just really excellent across the team, including the subs, in a game that meant fuck all at the end of the day to us, really, you know. We'll probably still finish like 12th, and that result probably doesn't make a huge amount of difference on that, but that's how much this matters. That's how much effort and passion these lads have put in, and it's just how good's that? It's
professionalism, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's more than that. It's more than professionalism. Like the team have clearly bought into this whole thing that's happening in Newcastle, and I think that was really, really apparent in the first half with two key moments. Number one, I don't know who it was for Arsenal, had the ball in the middle of the park, and Bruno just absolutely flattened him. Totally legit tackle, but like the hardest tackle he can possibly do without getting booked. Bruno just mullered someone in the middle of the park, and the crowd went mental. And then basically the same thing happened again, maybe 5 or 6 minutes later, and it was Almiron, who like hasn't tackled anyone ever, just absolutely flattened someone. And you just think then, like, if that's like the level of aggression and like desperation to get the ball back, no offense to Almiron, but he's not that player, is he? Like, if that's what you're getting from Almiron in that atmosphere, like the whole thing is built into something that's bigger than everyone, and like everyone's bought in, and it was just so obvious, and it's so fucking class.
Absolutely. I mean, so you mentioned the two Brazilians there, and yeah, I talk about that Leeds game, we'll talk about Wolves away lots, the game before the takeover, but if you told me that would have two world-class Brazilians bossing Arsenal's midfield to an extent. And like people like Elneny and Xhaka, they're good players. They're really, really good players. They didn't get a kick tonight, particularly at 0-0 and 1-0 in Newcastle. They really didn't get a kick tonight. And I don't know, Si, I don't know which one you want to talk about, but I'll give you the floor, mate.
Probably Joe Linton, because Bruno was excellent. He got his goal again. Like Bruno scored again, man.
Lee and I are like, what the fuck, man, Bruno? Like, yeah. This should have been a 70 million, 80 pound like, transfer fee. Like, you scored 3 goals in 3 years.
Literally, we're sold the state. He doesn't score much, but he'd probably do a good job. Like, he's top scorer or something. Joe Linton was back to his absolute dominating best, wasn't he, there? He was absolutely bullying the every one of the Austin midfielders, Xhaka, Elneny, and Odegaard. Like, we're just getting kicked off the ball by him, basically just barged off the ball all the time. There's times when we gave the ball away in slotty positions, but then Joe Linton comes just flying in from like 20 yards away and just wins it back. And then he was very, very aggressive going forward. He was effective. He was linking up with Maxi on one side, he was linking up with Miggy on the other. This is the Joe Linton we've kind of bought into. He is a midfielder. He's an attacking midfielder, but he links up very well with the attacking three. And there's a role there either as part of a front four or three out, or as part of midfield. Like, he's showing us that he has a wide range of skills. That, imagine that, man. Imagine, again, you go back to Leeds and before, you go back to how he was just 6 months ago under a previous manager whose name I won't speak for once. And it's just incredible. The lad deserves all the credit he's got. He deserves the player of the season. He deserves the ovation he got tonight. He deserves the singing about him. And he was spectacular. And then there's Bruno, but someone else can take Bruno.
I mean, he's a genius, isn't he? Like, he is a genius. We haven't had a midfielder of his capability, I think, ever. In my adult lifetime, at least, the only person that's close is Kabay. But he's a completely different player. But Bruno, he's just on another level. He plays a different game than everyone else. Like, he's so far ahead mentally from everyone else in our team. And he was so far ahead of everyone else in the Arsenal team today as well. It was just so apparent. And what's just so striking with Bruno is, like, both defensively and offensively, he's constantly on the move and he's constantly in the right place. And you don't see that often, where, like, Newcastle can have the ball basically anywhere on the pitch and Bruno is in space looking for the pass. Like, that is class. Like, it's real class. And it doesn't just take fitness, and it doesn't just take ability. Like, it takes nous, and it, like, to get all three of those consistently, well, like, within a game as well as within a season, is really uncommon. I said at halftime today, Bruno's going to be the best midfielder in the league in 2 years' time, and I stand by it. Like, once De Bruyne retires or moves abroad, I'm telling you, I promise you, Bruno will be the best midfielder in the league.
The thing with Bruno is he looks like he's come from, like, the La Mestalla or something like that. Like, he's that fucking good. Like, he looks like he's been brought up playing ridiculous, like, another level of football. Yeah. And it's like, and he's at Newcastle.
He's a genius. And like, he plays so for us. Good. Like, how lucky are we that we're going to watch him, like, blossom into this brilliant,
you know what,
footballer.
I don't want to be hyperbolic. But I also feel, if you can't be hyperbolic tonight, when can you be? Kevin De Bruyne's really good. Really good player. Well done, Kevin. But also, I feel like Bruno is sensational in every single part of the pitch. Like, if Bruno is covering it right back, he's sensational. If he's picking the ball up on the edge of his own penalty box, he's sensational. If he's got the ball in their penalty box, he's sensational. And there are very few other Premier League midfielders who, I think, doesn't matter where they are on the pitch, they're doing a better job than everyone else on the pitch. And that's what I feel about Bruno.
Yeah,
that's how good he is. And I feel like Joe Linton can get there. Like, Joe Linton's issue is actually in the box.
This is big, by the way, from you. Like, Joe Linton's biggest ever critic.
Oh, those days are gone. I mean, he was shite. No, I feel bad saying it, but, like, I don't feel bad for saying pre-takeover Joe Linton was bad. But now he's so good. I mean, Si was buzzing tonight because it was another assist before the assist for ASM. Si, do you want to give him some love?
Yeah, I think teams like Arsenal look at Newcastle and probably think, right, as long as we keep Maxi quiet, they're probably not going to do any damage. And they've kind of forgotten that we've got Bruno and bloody Joe Linton, who are just going to boss the place. So Joe Linton makes the run, and two Arsenal players run towards Maxi, who then plays the perfectly weighted pass in front of Joe Linton for that first goal. Like, it's underrated. Like, it's equivalent to Mighty Target's ball to Willock a few weeks ago at Brighton. But we all say that Maxi doesn't release the ball at the right time. His end product is bad. That was the perfect ball, and he needs a lot of credit for that. Joe Linton then steams forward 40 more yards and basically scores for it via Callum Wilson, who gets the goal by default. And then there was a chance the first half as well. He's cut inside, he's beat his man, he hits a really good shot near post, keeper saves it. That's the only good save a keeper's made tonight, to be fair. He was just lively. I think teams know that he's our threat. They make it hard for him. They double up on him all the time, and he still manages to find moments of brilliance in the game. And the fact that we're no longer just reliant on him to win football matches makes him look like a better footballer to me, and like he's part of a team. And I thought he was working a bit harder. There's no way we're keeping a clean sheet against Arsenal Light if everyone's not grafting. And I thought he grafted a bit better tonight, and he felt like part of the team, and he looked genuinely buzzing at the end, and he looked genuinely buzzing at every time he scored, even though he wasn't getting the credit in terms of the assists or the goals. So there's room for him yet in this team. And I know he's been a bit Marmite-y recently, and he's splitting opinions, but I thought he was very good tonight.
He was brilliant, wasn't he? Like, I mean, the reality is that, I mean, they're obviously, their right back gets injured. But like, I think he would probably get pulled off anyway. Because Maxi was absolutely killing him, just had him all over, and he didn't have an answer. There was one point, I've literally never seen a player get like an ankle breaker, where like, literally the movement from the winger, kind of the body shift, and he literally just didn't have a response to knowing what to do, and he just fell over. He just fell over. Like, it doesn't happen, especially at this level. And yeah, like I thought he was on his game tonight, Maxi. I thought he was brilliant.
Let's talk about the end then. The game was great. The performance was brilliant, but the end of the match in that lap of honour will live long in the memory, won't it, lads? I don't know who wants to talk about it, but it was just, you know, there's not many owners of football clubs do their own lap of honour behind the lads. There's not many clubs like Newcastle United at the minute.
It was emotional. Like, I was getting emotional because just, again, to think where we've been and what's happening. And
this season as well.
Yeah,
like this exactly. Season.
Where we were before Eddie Howe comes in. And
we haven't even talked about Eddie Howe.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just turned it around, and there's just so much to come. But like, I just love all of them. They're unbelievable. And it was great to hear like pretty much every individual player, not all of them, which I was a little bit disappointed with, not everybody got the song, but get like most of the lads getting the song sung, and like you can see like they're absolutely buzzing. And just I was taking videos of just that, like you don't see scenes like that where the stadium was full for the whole lap, like yeah. It was still full. I mean, there was even Arsenal fans staying back. We were that good.
Just cheering on Jamie Rubin. Yeah, exactly. Go on, lad.
if any listeners have got any suggestions, we want to try and come up with a song for Kraft by the weekend. Oh, so.
Fuck them off, man.
No, come on, no, he deserves it.
Give him a song at Burnley.
We're going to Burnley, and I need Kieran Trippier to be in that team. Right. He did well, by the way, Kraft, you know, 8 out of 10.
Yeah,
great, fantastic, but however, Trippier's got to be in.
Of course he does. Yeah, I'm not an idiot, but like, I really appreciated Emile Kraft's second half of the season, and I feel like he deserves a song. That's all I was going to say.
How good was Trippier coming on, by the way, for that one, just skinning his kid loads at footy?
was it Trippier that's like,
yeah, slide tackle him. He was making his way into the box to score into an open Millburn stand, and Trippier just slides him, takes him out, wins the ball.
Bruno so as well, like the Pied Piper, had about 16 under fives chasing him in the second half.
Because he's a superstar. Like, it is. Like, that's what this guy's going to be in this city. Like, he's like the next Cristiano Ronaldo of football for me. Like, but like, he's going to get there in Newcastle.
Big words.
Big words for a big result, Si. So it's okay. We're going to leave it there. I have to leave people with the news. We are live at the Stand Comedy Club next Tuesday. We're doing a live end of season show. Tickets are on sale from tomorrow.
It's not a comedy show.
It's a comedy club, but not a comedy show. Tickets are on sale maybe tomorrow afternoon, maybe the 17th. The show is the 24th, doors 7 o'clock. Show starts at 7:30. Come on down, celebrate with me, George Colkin, Craig Hope and Mark Douglas. We're gonna review Newcastle United season after the Burnley game and look ahead and maybe get some insight from the guys. What a fantastic, one of the biggest summers of our lifetimes ahead. So please come along for that. We'd love to see you there. Tickets are £15 and we should have an absolutely fantastic night. Get yourselves along. There might be tickets available on the door, but if we can sell them all in advance, we will. Lads, thanks very much for your time. Thanks to everyone who listens to this. Like Mickey said, he was wrong. He said it was 9 years. It's actually been 8. Feels like longer. We've been doing this podcast. Great to do this podcast with the three lads that we started doing it with all those years ago when Alan Pardew was the manager and Mike Ashley was in charge. We'll be back on Patreon this week, £6.60 a month for loads more of these podcasts. Please get involved. We'd love to have you along. I think us four will be back after Burnley. We're all going. Thanks for listening. Speak to you all then. Ta-da.